Hello and welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Weekman. Pretty excited. We are in Mississippi, but you know what? There's an Arkansas company, Crappie Magnet, that Jeff is here, Jeff Smith.
Yes, it's good to be with you, Brad.
And I tried to get him last year, and you were just too busy. So this year, you are stuck with me.
I'm glad to be stuck. It's perfect.
My gosh, we're going to talk about Pico crankbaits. We're going to just get right to it. Pico crankbaits and how Les Smith is running his rig.
It's really weird how that's all happened. Yeah.
Well, tell us about
it. Okay, so about 15 years ago, Les Smith was really the one pushing a lot of the spinner type of, you know, presentations for crappie. And we didn't even have a fin spin at the time. It was 2017 is when we made the first fin spin. I made it. Specifically for slow trolling. So the fin spin has a cup on the front, and it turns at 0.3 miles an hour. That was significant to us because we were pushing baits very slow.
Right.
And I wanted a spinner that would spin at 0.3, 0.4, and a curly tail that would do that.
Right.
So I was building those two things. Godwin was actually helping me with the curly tail part.
Right.
And we started a TV show called Fin Commander with the Duck Commander crew. So Fin Spin kind of came out of that idea. So we had those two things. So I come over here to Les Smith's compound.
Right.
Because I was invited. Uh-huh. And I show up and I just came out with those two items. Right.
Right.
And he goes, you know, we're pushing a lot of stuff. We'll try some of this stuff. And so it all started with him trying that and going, you know what, though? We need a skirt. We need something that makes this thing big and nasty coming through this water.
Right.
So we actually made a skirt first. I don't know if you remember those or not. We had a skirt that you would slide on that fin spin and put on any presentation you wanted. People didn't like that. They wanted it to come finished, ready to go. So he had a friend that was tying some up for him with tinsel, you know, the rubber legs like on a skirt. And basically from him, he helped us design the first Fin Spin Pro Series.
Right.
And from that's when we saw, in particular, Les and his crew pushing those things instead of minnows like they had been before.
Right.
And even crankbaits weren't a big part of it back then. They did it dead of summer, but very, very little. It was mostly pushing minnows, jigs with minnows. Well, that combination of that and a curly tail is really where it all started. And he started catching a lot of fish and believed at the time he could catch as many on that combo as he could a jig or just a straight, you know, minnow power trolling.
Uh-huh.
Well, in the middle of all that, I hear one day of them throwing a crankbait on there.
Right.
And I'm like, you're doing what now? And so he said, yeah, we're throwing, especially out the back of the boat, we'll put cranks out the back and we'll push out the front.
Right.
Well, then the two met in the middle, right, where they started doing both at the same time. And so we started working with him. But if it wouldn't have been for Les pushing it for power trolling, we wouldn't have got around to combining. And it wasn't we is nothing. That's all Les Smith and his group, right?
Uh-huh.
And when you were fishing with them, all those things happened. Then you get, you know, planer boards coming in.
Right.
And so if you look what's happened in the past 10 years, since 2017-18,
right,
there's been a crazy shift with how that's been done.
Right.
And I don't know if it's the pressure on these lakes or whatever it might be, we saw it. The first couple of years we were power trolling, we didn't struggle to catch fish.
Right.
And all of a sudden it got to be a little bit more of a struggle and getting away from the boat.
Right.
First it was 20-foot poles, you know what I'm saying?
We kept
finding ways to get.
That's what Les used to have.
That's right.
When I come down and before he had planer boards, dude, he had like 20-foot rods, 18-foot rods.
That's right. We lived on that 20-foot rod for a long time and 3-ounce weights. You know, no one used 3-ounce weights. But I'll tell you a funny story about that. So I had a friend in that helps make our baits. He went to come over here and fish, and I let him sit up on the front with Les because that's an experience, right?
Yes,
just learning from Les and the speed and watching the, you know, the area that he's going on the maps, because this is before LiveScope. And I was in the middle of the boat, and I grabbed two poles out of the back, and I set them on the side.
Right.
And I had Fin Spin Pro Series and Curly Tails, a double rig on both sides. Well, we're fishing for a little bit, and we're catching a few. All of a sudden, I start catching fish on the side of the boat, which was really weird. And it got to be where it was like, something's wrong because this shouldn't be out fishing the front. And it was.
Right.
We fished for probably 45 minutes. We changed jig heads. We changed colors.
Right.
It wasn't it. And it wasn't until, I'd say about 45 minutes, Les Smith goes, oh, hey, reel that in here. Let me look at that.
Right.
And it was the difference between a 3-ounce weight and a 2-ounce weight.
Wow.
My poles had threes. His had twos. and we put threes on his,
right away.
Light switch. And so Les Smith has been at the heart of a lot of this power trolling,
right?
You know, experiment, really, because that's what it was. You did, let's try that, right?
Right.
And so, but the crankbait in the pro series is one that I didn't see coming, right? I didn't see that combo coming where he would fish both. But it works really good because you have two different presentations. You can control the depth really well. And now that you can get it away from the boat, I mean.
With planer boards.
With planer boards. It's really interesting how that's happened. And what will it be in another 10 years, right? What are we going to have to do to adapt to catch these fish that are getting pressured pretty hard?
Right.
But anyways, that's the story behind the Pro Series and that whole process. It started as spider riggers.
Right.
We got connected to power trollers, and then we had to make things a lot bigger, right? Because I was fishing 16ths and 8ths on the fin spins.
Right.
The quarter didn't exist until I met Les.
Oh.
And so then we started making quarters and changing it. But the Pro Series was all Les Smith, and basically we made it so we could put a minnow on it. That's how it started. Putting a curly tail was not even a thought at the time.
Wow.
You wouldn't have thought it'll work, to be honest with you.
Right.
You know, this big old nasty thing. When you put up, if you've seen a Pro Series, it's got tentacles and it's got tinsel. And when you put the curly tail, it opens it up like a spinnerbait.
Right.
You know, hackle. It really does. It makes it big and wide. So coming through the water, it's pushing three
Large
or four
profile.
Inches. All the way around. It's a huge profile. And anywhere else in the country, that's not something you're going to try, right?
Right.
But the funny thing about all this is, you know, we make a lot of different baits. And most of the time, I've got a target species, whether it be white or black crappie.
Right.
I've got a lake, which means I've got the color of the water, depth, all those types of things.
Right.
With a target in mind as I go for it, right? But what I'm finding is a lot of times, as I do that, it's never the target. Perfect example is that I made that little tiny dancer. Have you ever seen a little tiny dancer? It's a little bitty paddle.
Small.
I made that for my clear lake in Arkansas, like you have up there, right? Clear lake, black crappie mostly.
Yep.
I wanted to throw something really small. I don't catch them there on that lake in that bait. They catch them on the other lakes that have a little more stain to them, like Nimrod and these other lakes. And I say that to say this. That Pro Series was made for the big four at the time.
Right.
Because muddy lake, big nasty. But when you look around the country, Dale Hala and some of these other lakes, when they use planer boards and get it away from the boat, they smoke them on those Pro Series. You know, it's kind of weird how that happens. So you almost have to try it in your area to go, why are they responding to a bait like that? Why are they responding to a bait that's got way more than you'd ever think should be on it on a clear lake?
Right.
And so I say all that to say, if you look at this bait and you go, it's not mine, you might want to try it, right?
Right.
Because when they told me they were catching those on Dale Hall, I went there going, no, I'm taking my boat. I'm going to fish for them the way I do because I know clear lakes. I was wrong, right? That lake, there's something about it that definitely, it definitely hits what they want.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about a jig and a jig, because even though he does use Pico crankbaits on there. Sometimes he uses two jigs on there. So you think that there's something in that two jig setup? Because in the old days, before LiveScope, we used double jigs up next to trees.
We did.
We dropped them.
But you think about, why'd we do that back then? Because we couldn't see where the fish were, and it just gave us twice the chance, right? I think what we're seeing now is we're learning that sometimes the double jig has two purposes. One, it gets you a little deeper sometimes.
Okay.
It changes the depth. And two, it makes it look more like your Alabama rigs. There's more going on. It triggers a bite. Where the two jigs up and down vertical, typically, they only saw one of the two.
Right.
Yep. But when you're running, you see two at two different depths a lot of times.
Uh-huh.
And so you're covering different depths, and it looks different to them. And so I think there's a lot to it at times, depending on the lake, you know, that two jigs can make a big difference.
Okay.
It's just the depth and the way it runs.
Let's talk about colors of the Pro Series and maybe the slabs, curlies, colors. So what do you have for colors for
that?
If people
of
are looking for the jig.
That's right. So here's what I would say. Every lake is uniquely different. Uh-huh. Over here in Sardis, they use that Less Pink a lot,
right?
Which is a blue-pink combination. They use a lot of the orange and chartreuse or orange and black colors. And
that's really driven by these Mississippi lakes where it is. That's pink, orange, and black.
That's it. Those colors are seen better in that water, and I've fished over here enough to go, yeah, I see why they say it, right? Because it gets bit better. Orange, just there's something about orange in the Mississippi lakes that works, especially orange chartreuse combos. So a couple years ago, I made a black and orange one.
Right.
And I don't even remember who asked me to do it, but I thought, man, that's the ugliest looking bait we got. Right. There's been times spider rigging and power trolling, you can tell it just catches more fish because you have 16 jigs. I mean, if you got double jigs, and they just want that bait. And so there are colors. People that go color doesn't matter, I would agree. There's some days it doesn't. But there's a lot of days it does matter. And when you're doing what Les does, which is just covering tons of water, you're looking for reaction bite. So color makes a difference. I would encourage people, not just because I sell baits, to have a lot of colors, but have a different variety. Your pinks, your orange, your black, combinations that you can say, I'm going to try some different combinations to see what will trigger them. Here's what I know. After selling the Finspin Pro Series now for 8-9 years, I can look at sales and I know what works, right? Because people are buying the
and
same
colors. And what areas.
Exactly. I can look and see, and that Less Pink is number one at the top anywhere in Mississippi. And then the other one, which is called October, it's like a trick-or-treat color. It's orange and chartreuse. Got a little bit of black in it as well. Those are the ones people use most. We don't sell a lot of the 16th-ounce Pro Series. It's mostly quarters and eighths. And so, and you know what it's like. A lot of times you're running at a fast speed, and that's controlling your depth as well. So where we used to long line a bunch, I used 32nds and 16ths.
Right.
Because I wanted to keep it up close to surface. And most of the time it was a single or double jig, and if I had too much weight, I'd be fishing deeper than I wanted to. But with the speed and the way you're fishing these, I think the weight helps you. And I'd say Les probably would tell you he fishes probably a quarter more than most. But that eighth, he fishes it quite a bit too.
Yep. So we talked about crappie magnet.
Yes.
And, of course, tell them, like, pretty much in a nutshell. Yeah, well, you know, you came into this and,
yeah, that's
and
right.
how it
so
started.
So 30 years ago, I was making fishing lures in my garage, the trout magnet, which is me and my buddy's original design that we started selling in 1997. And, and we've sold over a billion trout magnets since that time. It's the real deal when it comes to trout fishing, bluegill fishing, that kind of stuff. Everything bloomed from that one product. And so now we have a whole line of crappie lures under the Crappie Magnet brand. A lot of the success came when I started hanging around Les Smith and the pro staff of B&M. Now we have 72 pro staff around the country that are Crappie Magnet pro staff. I got one guy, it's a full-time employee of ours that takes care just of our pro staff. And so we believe in listening to them, we've created some of the best crappie stuff that's out there. There's a lot of great crappie lures on the market. Bunch, in fact. I'm not saying ours are better. I'm just not. I'm just saying I've listened to them because they have the really good ideas. Most of them are guides. Guides spend a lot of time on the water. You know what it's like? The more water you see, the more you go, oh, yeah, I get it, right? And so most of our stuff's been brought on because we've listened to them, and they've helped us with a lot of great ideas.
Right. Okay, so if you could only pick one crappie magnet lure, lure to fish for the rest of your life, which one would you...
We have a lot of really cool baits. I mean, they're just like a curb appeal. They look great. But if I'm going to go and I'm going to bet my life on catching a crappie, it's going to be with the original crappie magnet. The little split tail, I don't know why. If that tail stays open, they like it. If it's closed or a single tail, they'll eat it, but not as much as that double tail. And there's something about that profile that's it's 1¾ inches. If I make it any bigger or smaller, it doesn't get hit the same. So it's original crappie magnet. I'd fish a black and chartreuse or an isom orange and chartreuse combination anywhere I want to go. And then if I'm going to really dial it back, I'm going to throw a trout magnet everywhere I go for trout or crappie. It's just a killer. It's an absolute killer.
You got to have a jig head to put that on.
That's right. So the eye hole jig head is what I throw on all the crappie magnet stuff because I can put scent in it. And so I like that 16th and 8th ounce eye hole jig. I can put my scent in the eye hole. It's got a good double cross system on it that the plastic doesn't move. On the trout magnet, I want that new tungsten eye hole.
The tungsten. Yeah, I saw that.
And it's small enough that it doesn't rip the plastic, and I can throw that little trout mate, especially on lakes like yours.
Right.
This past winter on Greers Ferry Lake, I fished, deer season was horrible, so I fished a lot.
Right.
And so I would go and destroy them on a trout magnet and a 16-ounce tungsten. I would take people and let them try everything else just to make sure it wasn't me, just confidence factor, right?
Uh-huh.
That small little lure in that clear water really, really works well.
There you go, tungsten. That's a hot. Tungsten's hot.
It
hot
falls jigs. A lot faster. It's just a different look.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. That takes us to Tackle Time. Tackle Time sponsored by Pico Lures. Pico Lures, of course, has a complete line of hard and soft bait. So if you're going out there trying to catch some kind of game fish, they have it. Plus, of course, we have to talk about the crankbait. So we're doubling up. We're going to try those the jig heads. And I did last year, and I caught some. And then I, slowly lost all mine.
I'm get you some more.
He's going to give me some more, but we're doing that with the Pico crankbaits.
Yeah, that's
and
cool.
So we're going to do that on Beaver Lake.
Ah,
so
I'm anxious to hear how
we're
going to
have some feedback on the colors and stuff. So that's pretty good. You can find their products at picolures.com. Also, B&M Poles is one of our sponsors. Of course,
the best
Les
in the industry.
Is running BGJP 20s is what he's got out front there for right now, anyway, until he gets to the 3-ounce weight, and then he goes to the power troller. And then he has the gunners in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's using those rods. But, man, they have rods for everything. Trout fishing.
They do.
And of course, he talked about trout fishing. But trout fishing and crappie fishing and you name it, they got a rod you can do it with.
They do.
So make sure you check them out at bnmpoles.com. And if they want to find out more about Crappie Magnet, where do they go, Jeff?
Crappiemagnet.com will have everything they need.
There you go. There you have it. Like I always like to end the show, make sure you keep your hook sharp and your lures in the water.